Call this meeting to order. This is the regular session of the mayor and council of the city of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and state of Arizona to be held on Tuesday, February 20th, 2018, at 7 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors, hearing room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson is excused. Councilmember Frank Davis?
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom?
Here.
City staff, Robert Smith, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Carrie Bagley, finance director, Daniel Duchon, personnel director, Andy Heretic, public works director, Albert Uchave, police chief, George Castillo, interim fire chief, Aldo Orduño, city attorney.
Thank you, ma'am. For our invocation tonight, I'd like us to please provide a moment of silence for the families of the slain in Florida, and perhaps we can somehow figure out a way to stop this carnage. Please join me. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Thanks all for being here. As well as I would like to thank those that went to the town hall meeting last Thursday, as well as the Ward 3 meeting and the Ward 1 meeting and the Ward 2 meeting that will be in the near future. You had it last Saturday. In the rain. Okay, thank you for those that obviously, one of us didn't go to that meeting. So thank you all for being a part of your community. Call of the public, we have Alice Hammers.
I don't know where you go over there.
You go over there, ma'am.
I haven't been around.
I know, well. And to your right hand, there's going to be a light.
Okay.
And that's going to tell
I'm going to run. I'm going to go fast.
All right, Ms. Hammers.
Okay.
You're on.
So my name's Alice Hammers. I live at 7391 North Frontier Road, McNeil. And I'm going to read because I can't think. So I'd like to make a suggestion that the city of Bisbee bank locally. Previously, Richie Green urged the council to pull out of Wells Fargo, and I completely agree with Richie in the reasons he asked for that, especially since last week the council agreed to support the Paris Accords. But more than that, pulling out of a bank with zero interest in the well-being of Bisbee and banking locally in a bank whose interests coincide with that of Bisbee's seems a smart move. In fact, it is part of the movement to shop locally. If citizens are encouraged to shop locally, then surely the city itself should set an example. I suggest Western Bank, which is very local, with two branches in New Mexico and two in Arizona. It has an outstanding record for investment in small business, and both Lordsburg and Wilcox Bank with Western Bank. And the people who I spoke with in those cities are very pleased with Western Bank. There is also the credit union, which is small, or Washington Federal, which is larger but has very good ratings. National Bank of Arizona is connected to Zion Bank Corporation, which has interest in oil and gas, so I don't suggest National Bank. I realize it's not a simple task for the city to switch banks, but I believe the effort will be worthwhile. There's no urgency, but as a time frame, I would suggest by the fiscal year 2019 that we implement a plan to change to bank locally. I'm providing some information to the mayor and council with information on Western Bank, as well as websites with pros and cons about community banking versus banking with huge banks. Getting out of Wells Fargo, a bank with a severely tarnished history, and into a local bank is critical as to how we move forward as a community. Thanks very much. And I do hope a council member will be willing in the next month or two to put this on the agenda as an item. Thanks again.
Thank you, Ms. Hammers.
I've made it.
Clerk. I'm having a hard time reading this. Mr. Garcia? Is it Mr. Garcia? Okay, well. We have Ms. Hammers that signed. Who else signed the sheet? Okay. We'll move on to accounts payable.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $206,414.75.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and we have a second. Do we have any questions?
She's right there.
I've got a couple. On page one, there is, it's 10-51-13100 for business travel. Was this for a conference for Mr. Smith or what? And how many days was it?
I believe that was the Arizona City County Managers Conference in Sedona. And I was there 3 days.
3 days. Okay. And then just down below that on the moving expenses, I guess just a question, why was it so high? Why was it so expensive?
There were three bids given, and that was the cheapest bid.
Well, I understand that part. But that's an awful lot of money for Chino Valley down to Bisbee.
I don't know that as a fact.
Well, when we, for Mr. Johnson, he didn't go over 5,000 coming from Georgia. Right. You know, so just using that as a measurement, you know, it's awfully high. I know we originally approved reasonable expenses,
mm-hmm.
but this is not reasonable, and it didn't come back before us beforehand.
And it wouldn't, because it's a contractual issue.
Well, I still don't know who determines what is reasonable and what isn't.
How would you like that handled?
Well, I'd like us as council members to be informed prior to and then have us talk about it and either agree or disagree.
I see. Okay.
And then on page 2 and 3, we have fire replacement expenses. There's two contracts to Xerox that are buyout contracts, and one is $8,683.30, and the other one is $3,805.97. I guess I'm asking, why do we have a contract buyout, and what departments are they for, and why are they so much?
Ms. Bagley? Thank you, ma'am.
They were for the copy machines that were in Public Works, Finance, and Community Development that were in the City Hall building. We leased them, and since they were destroyed in the fire, we had to purchase what was remaining, the remaining value. We had to pay for that, but that will be reimbursed by the insurance company.
And also there was, that will be reimbursed by the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
Okay, so I guess maybe can we look at purchasing our own copiers rather than leasing them? I don't know, it just seems, that seems awfully high for a lease. And then on, still on page two, there is 1055-24110, and it's rent/lease, and it's a ground lease for relay station, it says 2018, and ground lease low parking 2018. What are those for?
Thank you, Mr. Hradek.
I can answer for the Lowell ground lease. The city is on a lease. We make that payment every year to, now I think it goes to Freeport now, but the city's on a, I think we've got 45, 55 years left on that lease. We lease the parking lot and the sidewalks.
Okay.
But they signed that, it was almost an 80-year lease when it was signed, 60, 80-year lease. There's 40 or 50 years left on that lease. But that's ours to maintain. And I can't answer the, I would imagine that the other one is for the communication tower, that we probably lease the land on the hill behind, in Warren, councilperson. That's what I meant.
You're talking about the Black Knob?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's not in Lowell, the relay station.
Thank you, Chief Achave.
Yes. I believe the relay station, what was the amount for that one?
It's not very much, about $10.
Yes, okay. I believe that is for the property directly behind the police station up on the hill. We have one remote tower there. We lease that property from Freeport. That's where a microwave hop goes to send the signal to Black Knob and then to Tank Hill.
And how much is that lease?
I believe it's $10 a year, and that's, again, a very long, long lease period. But we lease that property from them for our antenna.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
It just looked like it was here with Lowell, and I didn't know where we had a relay station in Lowell. So, and I think that's it.
Anybody else?
I have a question. What are the tuition fees for Cochise College?
I can't. You're going to need
tuition fees for Cochise College.
Paramedic training for one of the firemen, DeCastro.
Okay. And just on the moving expenses, I have to agree with Anna. It seems high. I mean,
I think for Mr. Johnson's moving expenses, there was a set rate that was agreed to, but for Mr. Smith's contract, it just said reasonable fees.
And do we normally pay mileage? Don't we just give a car?
We don't have a city vehicle at this time.
Okay. I didn't like how it came about with the whole moving expenses. It just seemed so sudden, and it was an emergency. And I thought it probably should have come before council first.
It was a contractual issue.
Well, that's why to a point for reasonable. I mean, who determines reasonable, like Anna said? Who determines that?
I'm sorry. Finish.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I didn't want to speak over you.
The contract says reasonable moving, and it just seems that wasn't reasonable, in my opinion. I mean, I actually got quotes, and it just seems excessively high.
Okay. And you were notified of this last week?
Yeah, 1 week.
Yes, sir.
And we have to vote
there
on
were,
it?
Yes, sir, and there was a week in order to bring this up and discuss it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. For a city that's so far I'm in happy financial to provide trouble, we seem to just throw money around. I don't know. I don't get it.
I'd be happy to provide some details if they're helpful.
You provided the three bids.
But we got the two local moving companies that were local to Prescott, and we got the company that moved us from Chino Valley up to Prescott. The company, that was Beacons. The company that moved us from Chino Valley to Prescott charged us $12,000 for the move, and that was in 2012. The two local Prescott companies were willing to give us a steep discount if we allowed them to schedule the move, and they scheduled the move and then changed the schedule. And that's why we were short on time. We literally got a call from them saying be ready next week. So we were able to get the cheapest move that we could possibly source that also carried insurance for our materials.
Anything else? We have a motion and we have a second. Those in favor of paying accounts payable signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Pardon me?
Nay.
One nay? Okay. That passed 5-1. Approval of the consent agenda. Three items. Item A, approval of the minutes of the special session of the Mayor and Council held on July 10th, 2017 at 6 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on September 5th, 2017 at 7 p.m. C, approval of the special event liquor license from Community Synergy Solutions for an event at Club Kilimanjaro, 33 East Subway Street, Bisbee, on Saturday, March 10th, 2018, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Any discussion on any item? Which item would you like to vote?
A question on 2C. What is the, what's the event?
The event is a fundraiser for the vulture, Return of the Vulture, Turkey Vultures, with all proceeds going to the swimming pool fund.
That doesn't even say anything about that in here. For the Community Synergy Solutions?
Mm-hmm. That's the group that's sponsoring it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Surely. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through C.
Thank you. I'll second that. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda item A through C signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes 6-0. Old business. Discussion of possible approval of Ordinance 018-01, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in the City Water System, authorizing and directing not to provide any fluoride to water being distributed in the water supply system. This is the second reading. Do we have any comments? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move to approve Ordinance 0-1801, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in the City Water System, authorizing and directing not to provide any fluoride to the water being distributed in the water supply system.
Second. Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number four, discussion of possible approval of ordinance O18-02 to conditionally rezone partial 102-05-097G owned by Kimberly Blanc from R1 to R3. This will be the second reading. Do we have any discussion?
Mayor, I want to commend the applicants for the improvements they've made to this property and the adjoining property. And with that, I move that we approve ordinance 01802 to conditionally rezone parcels 102-05-097G owned by Kimberly Blanc from R1 to R3.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Thank you. We have a motion and second. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number five, discussion and possible approval of ordinance O1803 to clarify the Design Review Board's authority regarding the demolition or movement of buildings in the historic district.
I move to approve ordinance 0-18-03 to clarify the Design Review Board's authority regarding the demolition or movement of buildings in the historic district.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Old business. I'm sorry, new business. Presentation of the City of Bisbee Annual Audit Report for the year ending June 30th, 2017 by Stephen Palmer, CPA of Hinton and Burdick. Ms. Carrie Bagley.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'd like to introduce Stephen Palmer with Hinton Burdick here to present the results of our 2017 audit.
Thank you, ma'am. Welcome, sir.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as has been mentioned, my name is Stephen Palmer. I'm an audit partner with Hinton Burdick, and we have recently completed the city's fiscal year 2017 audit, and it's my pleasure to be here with you this evening to report to you on the results of that audit. Which direction do I point? There we go. So the burning question that everybody has is, did the city pass their audit? And the answer to that is yes, the city did pass their audit. In conjunction with the financial statements, we issue three separate reports, the first being the independent auditor's report, where we give our opinion on whether or not the financial statements present fairly the financial position and the results of the city's operations for the fiscal year under audit. And we issued an unmodified, that's accountantees, for a clean opinion on the financial statements. We are also required to issue a report on compliance and on internal control over financial reporting. There are different levels of findings that we can issue with this report, the most severe of which, and severe is not even a good word, but the most significant of which would be a material weakness. I'm pleased to report that there were no material weaknesses. The second level is a significant deficiency, and we did note one significant deficiency related to segregation of duties. In other words, we'd really like to see two sets of eyes or adequate compensating controls over all processes involving city funds. And we noticed a few places where there were controls in place, they just need to be bolstered a little bit. They need to be strengthened, and Carrie has the detail on those. And last, we issue a report on the city's compliance with state matters. And we also issued an unmodified or a clean opinion. However, there was one matter that we noted where the city was not in compliance with state laws, and that is that the street fund overexpended its budget by $200,000. Now, let's take just a moment and take a look at the city's finances as a whole. And over these next few slides, I try to show trends. Looking at 1 year all by itself doesn't show the whole story. Trends really help to see which direction the city is moving. So as we discuss these items, keep that in mind, that just because an account or a goes up or down in one particular year, that in and of itself may or may not be significant. So let's take a look at the city's net position at June 30, 2017. So the net position is what is left over once you take all of the city's assets, back off the liabilities, that amount at the bottom is the equity or net position, and that amount was a little under $9 million at June 30, 2017. And over time, increases or decreases to this number is it's a really good indication as to whether or not the city's financial health is improving or deteriorating. So for the year end of June 30, 2017, the city's net position decreased by $1.2 million. Last year, the city's net position increased slightly. I think it was $127,000, if I remember correctly. Let's look at some of the funds individually. The general fund being the most significant of the city's funds. Here's some trend analysis over the past 5 years. That top line is represents assets in the general fund. The middle line is the equity, and the bottom line are the fund's liabilities. And keep in mind that the general fund is expected to more or less break even over time. It's not the general fund's purpose to provide net income or generate a profit. It's to provide, you know, resources to the citizens of the city. So the general fund continues to show a healthy fund balance. As you can see, it's gone from $1.8 million in 2013. It's right now a little under $1.7 million. It's gone up and down a little bit over the years, but overall it's been very consistent. Keep in mind that the general fund is reported on the modified accrual basis of accounting, which simply means that the general fund does not report capital assets, long-term debt, those long-term type items on their balance sheet. So here's the cash trend for the general fund. It's gone up and down a little bit over the past 5 years, but has been relatively stable. Over the past 5 years, the general fund has had an average cash balance of $852,000, and at the end of fiscal year 17, it was a $750,000. As I mentioned earlier, the general fund isn't expected to generate net income, so to speak. Over time, revenues and expenditures are expected to break even, and that is exactly what we're seeing on this graph. There are some years where revenues exceed expenditures, and other years where the opposite is true. Cumulatively, over the past 5 years, revenues have exceeded expenditures by $323,000. The enterprise funds or utility funds, they're also often called, they're reported on a different basis of accounting than the general fund. The financial statements of the enterprise funds do include those long-term items, such as capital assets and long-term debt. Enterprise funds should show revenues in excess of expenditures, simply because we know that the water system isn't going to last forever, and the city should be accumulating resources to help to provide for upgrades and needed repairs and the like. So here's the wastewater fund. Cumulatively, over the past 5 years, revenues have exceeded expenses by about $1.6 million. In fiscal year 15, the fund received almost $2 million in grant revenue, so you can see that big spike. And if we disregard that grant revenue, the fund would have cumulatively reported about $345,000 of expenses in excess of revenues. So keep that in mind. The fund, excluding that one big year of grant revenues, was basically break even over the past 5 years. And here's the cash trend for the wastewater fund. You can see the cash has progressively increased, but not by much. We're seeing a little bit of a jump in 2017. I believe that was because, a big piece of that was because some loan proceeds were received for a piece of equipment before the end of the fiscal year, and the cash hadn't left yet for the purchase of that piece of equipment until the following fiscal year, so a little bit of a timing difference. Is that true, Carrie? That's what I remember. Okay. And here's the sanitation fund. Cumulatively, over the past 5 years, expenses have exceeded revenues by $442,000. There's a spike in expenses in 2014. I wish I could speak more to that. I wasn't here in 2014, and I looked at the financial statements, and there wasn't any one thing that really jumped out at me. But there was a spike in expenses in 14. There was also an increase in 2017, and again, there wasn't anything that jumped out at me. There was about a 15% increase in expenses overall, and it just seemed to be kind of across the board, not any one thing individually. And the sanitation fund for the past 5 years has not reported any cash at all. In fact, there is a balance due to other funds from the sanitation fund, as it has had a cash deficit over the past 5 years. And last but not least is the Queen Mine Fund. And cumulatively over the past 5 years, revenues have exceeded expenditures by about $300,000 for the Queen Mine Fund. So it's generating net income. And we can see that with the cash trend. Cash has increased by 67% over the past 5 years. And those were the highlights I wanted to share with you. Mainly, I wanted to give you an overview of the city's finances over the past 5 years and specifically report on the results of our audit for fiscal year 17. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address those at this time.
Thank you, sir. Council, questions?
Please, if after tonight you do have questions, please feel free to contact me. I'm happy to discuss any item with you. My contact information is there. Carrie certainly knows how to get a hold of me. And last but not least, I just want to thank the city staff for all their help this year. It was a challenging year for them. We had the audit scheduled. I think the week after City Hall caught fire. So we had to scramble and reschedule the audit, and it put everything behind schedule a bit. And they really worked hard to get us the information that we needed under some difficult circumstances, as you well know. So I really want to thank them for their hard work.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Thank you.
Item number 7. Presentation by Carrie Gustafson on the Arts and Culture District. Welcome.
Good evening. Okay, the Arts and Culture District. Just to recap, we were created a year ago, but an Arts and Culture District is really a defined grouping of arts and culture organization and events, and we have that in spades already down in the historic district of Bisbee. And what's neat about art and culture districts today is they're linked in with this whole creative economy, creative placemaking concept to attract people to your community that look at arts and culture as a priority, just as we do. We were created by ordinance, the first ordinance last year. It took us a while to get up and running, but the Arts and Culture District is really an overlay of Bisbee's Historic District, so it's pretty easy for everybody to recognize. In discussions about an Arts and Culture District, when David Smith first came up with this concept and we were talking about it and researching it, we thought it best to keep it out of government. We don't make regulations, we don't make rules, we don't make guidelines, we don't spend your money. And so we decided to keep it under a nonprofit organization, and it's come under the Bisbee Council on the Arts and Humanities, which is a 501c3 organization. This organization now serves as kind of the umbrella nonprofit of the museum where I work, the Bisbee Mine Historical Museum. We also serve as the umbrella nonprofit governing authority for the Neuheim House, the Friends of the Warren Ballpark, and now the Arts and Culture District. In the past, we've served as the nonprofit governing authority for the Bisbee Community Chorus, the Bisbee Poetry Festival, so we have a long history of working with organizations and helping them get off the ground. The committee is turned into just a wonderful group of people. I mean, I have a lot of fun with this committee. It took us a while to coalesce into a committee. I've created a new verb every time we get together and I have something. It's been committed, but for the best. These are people on the committee. When we were first looking at this, we worked together with Lori McKenna, the Central School Project. And we tried to get word out to everybody we can think of, all the Facebook pages we can think of, the newspapers, word of mouth. And we had a number of applications, and we decided since we wanted to be inclusive and diverse, everybody that applied was invited to join us. And there has been some attrition where people say, well, it's not a good match for me, or I can't really devote the time to this. One thing about the committees such as this, being a member of it, it's more than just going to a meeting. If you want something done, you've got to roll up your sleeves and do it. And now that the committee is really formed, we have a lot of passionate people that roll up their sleeves and get things done. And we met last night, and I will confess, it was a super fun meeting, because all this work I had on my plate, they adopted. We worked hard to kind of determine who we are. So we went through the whole process of mission statements, vision statements, core values, purpose. I want to mention Charles Bethay has a strong background in arts administration, was a great help in this. And Fran Richmond, who's one of our committee members, went online and looked at what other communities were doing with arts and culture districts and how they were lining up their purpose and goals and whatnot. So as a group, we came up with this as our mission statement. You can all read it. I don't have to. This is our purpose, and what we want to do is take what we have and enhance it and try to help have our arts and culture and our heritage help sustain and grow our community a little bit. We're not looking at huge things, but we're looking at kind of a steady, sustainable contribution to our community. So that's our purpose statement. And that was put together by a committee, so I think we did really well. These are our core values. If we were a business, I think these would be called assets. I'm not going to read them for you, but I really like the fact that when we were working through this as a group, the verbs embrace and cherish, support, welcome, are really positive things. And this is positive things we already are as a community. So did you all have time to read it? Can I go to the next slide? From the core values, we based our vision. And once again, working through this with the group, I love the fact that such verbs as encourage, protect, grow, celebrate, and serve became prominent in the discussion. And you can see how these really are working well with what we have and what we are and where we want to go. Can I change slides? Okay, now that we sort of determined who and what we are, we thought about, let's work on branding. And when I was putting this together, it was really kind of fun because it sounds like we were so organized. First we did all of this, we figured out what we were doing and what we, you know, who we are, and then we decided we're going to do this. But it didn't work like that. It was all like, blah. But it came out to where we got two parallel tracks of the who we are and what we want to do started. So the first one we looked at, and one that's been in our discussions from the very beginning when everybody was talking about what they wanted to see, was to take our mining heritage and our arts and cultures and blend them together. And then we wanted to let visitors know, too, that we now have an arts and culture district. One of the things we did with branding is worked with some local graphic artists, Jen Luria and Bridget Shanahan, who donated their time to do this. You know, as we promised to pay them when we raised money. But a couple years ago, the IBISBE committee initiated a rebranding that we had local graphic artists on that. And you can see on the right of the slide, that is the rebranding for the Discover BISBE and the tourism department here at the city. We wanted to stay with that, so we worked on trying to keep that. And we'd like to encourage any of the City of BISBE's ventures into tourism marketing and signage and whatnot to try and merge this together so we have a brand that's consistent. The second thing we thought we'd do are street signs. This was Jen Luria's idea. I thought it was brilliant because it's so simple. And what we want to do is for visitors to our community especially is let them know that they are in an arts and culture district. We had a committee meeting yesterday, and we are now able to really start pulling this whole idea together. We're going to sort of take it out for a spin next Tuesday when we present this at the Copper Queen Library to the general public. But we're starting an adopt or sponsor a street sign program. We've been able to track down each sign will be about $30. So it's easy for somebody to say, here, I'll buy one. So we're going to be working on that, and that's actually going to get its real start next Tuesday. Right, Chuck? There you go. Another thing we looked at is some kind of welcoming art installation. We are a town of artists. We are a town of mining. And how can we bring it together? When I was researching arts and culture districts with David, I kind of sort of stumbled upon this slide, and it made me smile. This is the entrance to the Pittsburgh Culture District. And I was thinking, how can we use this and make it Bisbee? So we thought, okay, Bisbee's a town that Copper built. When you strip down our history, that's where we started. So how can we take this mining, which is not really considered by anybody, I don't think, as an art form, and bring it together with our Bisbee artists and all the creative energy we have here in town? I pulled a couple of photos from our archives to kind of give you an idea, if you can see them, of the different kind of forms, these industrial forms we work with in mining. They're really fascinated. I mean, I was a tomboy and I love this stuff, but there's cool forms. And during our talks about this, Poe was sitting down making sketches on how do we merge the two. And then as a group, we thought, okay, for a concept to this welcoming installation, we wanted to include the seating element from the Pittsburgh idea, our logo, our mining heritage, and Bisbee art. So here you get away from graphic artists to non-graphic artists working. For the seating element, I went online and found these sort of vintage metal chairs. Robert Quintanar was really gracious and took Poe and I through all the shops down at the Copper Queen Yard, and they're quite amazing. It's just, they're just full. The electric shop, the timber shop, the motor shop. It was cool. But outside, as you can see on the upper right, they have these timber carts that are just really neat. They're 48 inches long and about 18 inches high. And we thought, what a cool way to bring mining into a seating element and then start bringing in with maybe putting in some of the vintage chair concept with it. So not being a graphic artist, I just cut the legs off some vintage chairs off Google and stuck them on that cart. But just to give you an idea. Then I went back with Robert and took pictures of the kinds of equipment and forms that we can integrate into an art object from our mining heritage. And these are really cool. They really are. This one that's sort of down in the lower corner that kind of looks like a bathtub with a snail. It was just sort of like 70,000 Leagues Under the Sea kind of concept. But there's all these different forms we can integrate in. And so we were working with Poe to come up with a concept, and he had an erector set, and he made us a model. I think it is absolutely cool that this is made out of an erector set. Our sculpture will not be made out of an erector set, but what we're trying to do here is show how we can combine some of the mining equipment that you can see here, the seating, the logo, and make an art piece that is distinctly Bisbee. It's not from Pittsburgh or Los Angeles or San Francisco. It's definitely us. Even though in this format it's an erector set, it's going to be more us when we get into vintage metal chairs and mining equipment. We are going to go, once we raise funding for this, to the Parks and Recs Committee and ask permission to put it in Grassy Park amongst the seating that's there. Several years ago when we did the revitalization for the Grassy Park project, we actually had an art installation located here, which were banners against the retaining wall. After the first set, with some wind damage and one ending up in a police report about somebody wrapped up in one of our banners in the gulch, we thought that wasn't a very good art piece for there, so we've already planned an art installation in this area, so we're going to ask if we can do this one. So, We're working on all this branding. One thing that came up last night that we will be presenting also Tuesday that is another piece of our branding is we're doing, we have some local talent that will be doing a video of the Arts and Culture District. And I think it's, what was the title of it? I Live, Love, and... Be Yourself in Bisbee. And this is also another exciting initiative because with our group, we have a couple of people working on similar ideas that are coming together and bringing it all together. But after branding, we were asked the question, well, then what? You know, what are we really going to do? And as a committee, we had lots and lots of ideas, and people had lots of ideas for us. But we came down to the fact that as an all-volunteer committee that is not subsidized monetarily by anyone, we want to be kind of a platform which people can come to and use us as a resource. And I think within our mission, our vision and goals, it becomes very clear the direction we want to go in. So be having this kind of a diverse group of people that know a lot of different people, I think we could be a very, very effective resource for ideas coming in. And then we were looking at what kind of things, you know, as a resource could we do? Well, one of them is providing marketing opportunities. We are going to be starting on Tuesday going to all the businesses with our logo and asking them to put them on all their social media and marketing materials with the tagline located in the heart of the Historic Arts and Culture District. We're going to be doing the video and just the ideas are endless as long as there's people there to actually do ideas and not just think them up and tell us to do them. Another one is disseminating information. The third one, I think, was behind a lot of our ideas on keeping this in the nonprofit world. And a good example of opening nonprofit funding doors is I've heard over the years a number of people looking at the Lyric Theater and saying, wouldn't it be great if we can take it back to a theater? And a lot of people have enough money perhaps to buy it, but they don't have enough money to renovate it. If they partnered with the Bisbee Arts and Culture District Committee as a nonprofit, we could open doors such as challenge grants from the National Endowment for the Arts. And I think that's a real plus point for this in our community. And the last one is supporting creative opportunities that come to us. And that's it. And Tuesday you get updates. Any questions?
Good. Thank you, Ms. Gustafson. Council have any questions? Apparently not. Thanks so much. Appreciate that. Item number 8, presentation by Danielle Duchang, Sarah Bailey, and Ying Zhang on the fee fine study being completed by the University of Arizona students. Maybe, Mr. Duchang, you can do a much better job of introducing these people.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mayor, members of the council, the fee fine study that you may have heard about, Mr. Smith mentioned, taking a comprehensive look at what fees and fines the city is charging and comparing them to municipalities of comparable size and income levels to make sure, or to see where we're at, to see where we're at compared to others and if we're charging the right fees and fines. So we've actually partnered with the University of Arizona and the Master of Public Admin program there for a capstone program for two students, Sarah Bailey and Ying Zhang, you guys can come up. And I actually am a graduate of this program as well and completed a capstone program with Oro Valley several years ago. And I turned out all right. So they have a presentation. I'll turn it over to them about what they'll be doing.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks, Dan, for the intro. This is me super quick, so just me up here. So we'll be doing a fee fine study. Who are we? So Ying and I are both MPA students at the University of Arizona, and we're completing our PA 594 capstone project. It's a final project you do towards the end of your program to apply your skills in local government or nonprofit work. So both of us are Masters of Public Administration students. My concentration is in collaborative government, governance, and Ying's is in nonprofit management. She'll be graduating this spring. I'll be graduating this coming fall. And then I also work at the University of Arizona and the Center for Biological Diversity. So we wear a few different hats. And what we'll be doing is we'll be completing a fee and fine inventory of Bisbee. That is already completed. Dan got that information to us. And then we'll be completing an analysis comparing Bisbee's fees and fines to those of other cities in Arizona. And we've already selected those cities, and I'll be going over that next. Then we'll be making recommendations for potential adjustments and showing you the results when we come back in May. So these are the other six cities we're looking at comparing Bisbee to. So looking at population and median household income, we're looking for ones kind of right around Bisbee's range. So you can see population is listed from lowest to highest, Bisbee in the middle, and then household income. And then I just color-coded it. Yellow is cities below Bisbee's numbers. Green is those above. And then I just included a little map highlighting where the cities are in Arizona. So we're working now on getting those fee and fine inventories from those cities. So we have it from a few of them, still kind of badgering some folks in the other cities to get that information. And yeah, we'll start looking at that, comparing them to Bisbee's fees and fines, and hopefully give you guys some good recommendations. So do you guys have any questions?
We're really looking forward to it.
Great.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Duchamp. Item number 9, public hearing and discussion, the possible approval of the notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-1805, amending zoning code sections 3.2, 5.2.2, 6.7, 6.14, and 9.2 to allow special use application for alternative lodging parks in all zoning districts, allow rehabilitated mobile homes in RM zoning district, and clarifying special use permit language by 1. Amending Article 3.2 to include special uses that may be applied for are set forth in the appendix designated by blank spaces in the uses and zone matrix and in the chart entitled Special Use Permit Required. 2. Amending Article 6.7 to include both manufactured homes and rehabilitated mobile homes to be placed in the RM zone. 3. Amending Article 9.2 to include definitions for alt lodging park, tiny home, and for rehabilitated mobile home. Any comments before I open the public hearing? We have had a work session on this, and so I see Alice Hammers wants to speak on that.
Number 12, I know it's wrong. Number 12.
Okay. I'm going to open the public hearing. Public hearing is opened. Do we have anyone wanting to speak in favor of this? Anyone wanting to speak in favor of this ordinance? Hearing none. Do we have anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this ordinance? Ms. McCartney? Yes, ma'am, you're going to need to come up and speak into the microphone, Ms. McCartney.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I'm not here actually to oppose it. I'm here to question what's going on because we were at the work session. I thought this was all set up to go. And it seems, and then I saw it on the agenda and said, what is going on? What is different?
We had a work session on it, and action can't be taken at a work session.
Oh, okay. So my question is this the action that came out of the work session?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's all I need. I needed to know that.
Yes.
Because it wasn't clear to me. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome. Anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this ordinance? Hearing none. Ms. Coronado, have we received any emails, mail, or telephone calls?
No, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll then call this work, this, yeah, public hearing closed. It's been a long day. I apologize. All right, do we have a motion, counsel?
I move approval of the notice of intent to adopt ordinance 01805, amending zoning code sections 3.2, 5.22, 6.7, 6.14, and 9.2 to allow special use application for approval, for application for alternative lodging parks in all zoning districts, to allow rehabilitated mobile homes in RM zoning district, and to clarify special use permit language by, one, amending Article 3.2 to include special uses that may be applied for or set forth in the appendix, designated by blank spaces in the uses and zone matrix and in the chart entitled special use permit required. Two, amending Article 6.7 to allow both manufacturing homes and rehabilitated mobile homes to be placed in the RM zone. And three, amending Article 9.2 to include definitions for alternative lodging park, tiny home, and for rehabilitated mobile home.
I'm sorry, would you say that, give that again? Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. And I just want to make sure that it's understood this is the first reading of this particular ordinance. And so you will see it on the next agenda for the final reading and passage. So what we're voting on is voting of the approving the notice of intent to adopt this. Okay. With that, Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 10, discussion of possible approval of the emergency installation of chain link fence to secure the City Hall building. Mr. Hradek, Public Works Director.
Mayor, thank you, Mayor and Council. You have before you the bid that we approved for the chain link fence that we put around City Hall. This was an emergency that we needed to do. However, I want you to know that we did go out and secure other bids as well through state contracting. The fence is up, it's secure, and it's been paid for.
It looks much better.
Yeah, it does. It's a lot better.
Yeah, much, much better. Yeah. Questions, Council?
Is that something that had to be a permanent fence?
It had to be permanent enough to get us through the next 1 to 5 years. And so I put it up as a permanent fence because what we didn't want was anybody getting in there and getting hurt or, you know, any more mischief. So we did do it as a permanent fence, yes.
Anything else, Council? Thank you, Mr. Hradek. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the emergency installation of chain link fence to secure the City Hall building.
I'll second that. All those in favor of approving the motion, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Item number 11. Discussion and possible approval of resolution R18-03, supporting the Bisbee Bus Transit Program and the application for funds to operate the Bisbee Bus Transit / Bus System and authorizing the mayor to sign all applications and grant contracts. Mr. Hradek.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Recently, because the city doesn't have a community development office, transportation was turned over to Public Works. That's why I'm presenting this to you. Each year, the city must apply for funds from the Arizona Department of Transportation, ADOT, for its share of federal funds used to operate the Bisbee Bus Transit Program. This program provides transportation via a flex route system throughout Bisbee and Naco 6 days a week. In order to apply for these funds, the City Council must provide documentation of its support for the program annually and authorize the mayor to sign the application.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve Resolution R-18-03, supporting the Bisbee Bus Transit Program and the application for funds to operate the Bisbee Transit Bus System and authorizing the mayor to sign all applications and grant contracts.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 12. Chief, we will have a member of the audience speak on this.
Okay.
And this is discussion of possible approval to enter into an agreement between Arizona Department of Homeland Security for the Operation Stone Garden Award number 170412-02 and the Bisbee Police Department in the amount of $11,000 for overtime, employee-related expenses, and mileage. And that will be by Chief Achave. We have a member of the public, Ms. Hammers, that wishes to give us her 3 minutes.
Yeah, I hope shorter. I have always opposed the Stone Garden grant. I'm not opposing the money. You're going to take the money. Great. Get the money. But Stone Garden is inappropriate for any city police. It's about the war on terror. City police are about peace. It's connected to the National Guard can be used. It's about securing the border from terrorists. First of all, there aren't terrorists. Secondly, I just don't think, I mean, a city police department is about peace and needs training for peace. So the sheriff's department from the Department of Homeland Security got a tank. Great. And we've seen what the equipment was. Like 3 years ago, we had a big demonstration because there was a lot more money involved. So I just advise, I'm just saying to the police, look at what Stone Garden is. And I like you guys, you know that. So it isn't about that, it's just about knowing where this money comes from. And I don't think it's a good space or a space that really needs to be in Bisbee, except money is nice. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? There's still somebody signed up here. I want to make sure that I've given them the opportunity. Chief Achave, thank you, sir.
Mayor, Council, and members of the public. So this is the Stone Garden grant. Every year we have to we get awarded a certain amount of funds. In years past, we were fortunate enough to get some equipment out of this. This year, due to our extremely low numbers of personnel and availability to work Stone Garden, we weren't able to use all the money that was given to us over the past couple of years. And so this year we were only getting $11,000, which is pretty low in comparison to what we've gotten in years past. That covers $1,000 for mileage and vehicle use and leaves $10,000 for overtime. That overtime covers all EREs, so the 130%, give or take, of PSPRS and the other expenses related to overtime come out of that. So when you look at how much time an officer can actually work, $10,000 is really not a whole lot, but every little bit helps, and it is a force multiplier for us. It does allow for additional officers to be working instead of the standard two that are always out there. So we definitely welcome that assistance from that, and we hope that you will approve that.
Thank you, sir. we were able to use last year's funding?
Yes, so fiscal year 15, if I remember this, federal government, their fiscal years, I get a little confused, but I believe this fiscal year 15, we were awarded funds, and because we were down to only six officers, we didn't have the manpower to work that. So when fiscal year 16 came around, we weren't given any new funds. We were given an extension to spend the previous year's funds. And even those funds, we were not able to use all of. They took some of those back from us. And a lot of that came down to just the fact that some of the guys, they were forced to work a lot of overtime because of the shortfalls, and they didn't want to work any extra time. So, but now things have kind of leveled off. We have a few new officers on the street, and things are getting a little bit better. And so we're able to pull back on the city overtime, and that is the officers are looking forward to these types of opportunities now.
That $1,000 is for mileage. Is there a rate put with that?
There is. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but there is a per mile rate that we charge to Arizona Department of Homeland Security to reimburse us for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm putting that out there for other people to know that. So thank you, Chief. And we are, as in past years, we can let everybody know that $10,000 will not be passed. We won't go over that, and that includes all of the EREs.
Correct.
And we can say the same with the mileage then. So.
Correct.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Any questions? All right, do we have a motion?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
I move to allow the mayor and council to go into an agreement between Arizona Department of Homeland Security for Operation Stone Garden Award number 170412-02 and the police department in the amount of $11,000 for overtime, employee-related expenses, and mileage.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have a second? I'll second it. Those in favor of the motion signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Item number 13. Let me read it first.
Oh, okay.
Discussion of possible approval of the Bisbee Arts Commission to sponsor the Bisbee Community Chorus in the amount of $1,000. Mr. Hick.
Okay. This $1,000 went to the community chorus, helped sponsor the symphony from Tucson coming down, and it's something that the Bisbee Arts Commission has done traditionally. So we were happy to approve that $1,000 for them. So having said that, I move to approve the sponsorship by the Bisbee Arts Commission to the Bisbee Community Chorus in the amount of $1,000.
We have a motion. We have a second. And clarification, this does not come out of the general fund. This is, in fact, a fund that the Bisbee Arts Commission has. With that, all those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 14. Discussion of possible approval of the Bisbee Arts Commission to reimburse Sharon Stetter in the amount of $200 for the purchase of a cigarette machine, which will be used for an ongoing method of fundraising. Mr. Higgins?
This cigarette machine, which was recently purchased, is going to be converted to art dispenser. They're planning on putting tiny pieces of art inside a cigarette machine, and people will be able to access it either through a token system or another method of payment. And we're going to have this set up in the, somewhere downtown, maybe the convention center, or maybe Will Nathan has building the old dime store. And this will be out there in the public continuously, so if you want to buy a little piece of art, you can walk up to the cigarette machine, put a token in, and pull it, and it'll be a surprise. But I move to approve the Bisbee Arts Commission to reimburse Sharon Stetter in the amount of $200 for the purchase of a cigarette machine, which will be used as an ongoing method of fundraising.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Those in favor signify by stating aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously. Item 15, discussion of possible approval of the budget for the Bisbee Arts Commission fundraising event to be held May 2018. Mr. Higgins.
Last year we had a very successful fundraiser. We had an art auction, which was quite successful, and this year we're going to have more of a fiesta type event, and we're going to have it on Subway Street in May. I think May, I can't remember, 17th, 19th, something like that, whatever the weekend is. And we're planning on having our, it's going to be an art event. There's going to be kites. There's for sale that have been decorated by local artists. We're going to have a band. It's really going to be like a fiesta, more of a party this year, and maybe next year we'll get back to the art auction. But this is our annual fundraiser. This is where we make all of our money that we turn around and give to the community. So I move to approve the proposed budget, and this is for $5,000, but we probably won't spend that $5,000. We just wanted to make sure we had enough money to get what we needed. So I move to approve the proposed budget for the Bisbee Arts Commission Art Funding Event May 2018.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, sir.
City Manager's Report. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mayor. Dwayne. Did we get the demo thing up out there? Is that
yes.
Set up out there? I didn't have time to run and go check. So I think you guys remember there was a little bit of a splash a few weeks back. Some people got really upset because we were talking about pop-up parks. I think maybe the terminology that we were using wasn't very accurate. The thing that you see out front, you will see dropped off in a couple of different places in Old Bisbee. It's going to be a kind of entertaining smoking area out by St. Elmo's for a while. You may see it this spring when it's really hot with a little kiddie pool with some water in it and water bowls for dogs. We built it out of materials that we had on hand. The AstroTurf comes from the mortuary, the cemetery. The AstroTurf comes from the cemetery. We had the fence laying around and some white paint, so we just screwed some things together and came up with this. Staff has some fairly creative ways to deploy it so that we can have a little fun. You may see us build some pretty clunky furniture out of 2x4s and 2x6s and set that out so that people can move furniture around to accommodate their needs when they're in a park or in a public space. We want to start paying attention to our public space and trying to make it a little more inviting to the people that visit and the people that live here. So if you have any questions about some of the plans, Public Works has some really great ideas for us to have some fun this spring.
Thank you, sir. Okay. We have no council comments, and so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
We have a motion and we have a second. And those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned.